The topic at hand tonight is going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. We have already looked at some of the truth of this, how the Holy Spirit is powerful. And really, when you cover the Holy Spirit and some of these topics, much of it is interrelated. You can't really just hone in on one aspect and just try to stay to that. But we've seen His power as we've looked at His creation and His work in creation. We've seen how He has empowered individuals throughout the Old Testament in very many physical ways. And we're going to delve into some of that again tonight. But we've already learned, and just from our own experience and our own knowledge, we know that the Holy Spirit is powerful. We know this. We understand that He is a powerful being. We've seen it. We've learned it. Because after all, He is God. And we've learned this. We've learned that because He is God, He has the attributes of God. And one of those attributes, one of those key attributes, is the fact that He is omnipotent. That is all powerful. But the question that I want us to think about tonight and even next Sunday night is, how does this power relate to His people? We've talked about His power in a general sense. We've been looking recently at the work of and ministry of the Holy Spirit, specifically in the lives of His people. And so I want to explore, how does His power relate specifically to His people? We all need His power. I think we would all admit that. We need His power for every aspect of our life. We are spiritual beings and we need the Spirit's power. In fact, many of us would admit that we desire His power. We are tired of the same old, same old. We're tired of the status quo. We're tired of seeing little enthusiasm for the Lord in our life. We're tired of seeing so little joy and hope in our lives. And we're tired of seeing fruitlessness in our lives from our witness and these things. We admit that we need His power, and many of us would admit that we desire His power. Well, my desire is to whet your thirst a little bit more, to see what His power is like, so that we truly will have a desire for it greater tonight than we've ever had before. Tonight, our focus is going to be on what the power of the Spirit can do. And He can do some amazing things. And then next week, I want to look at how we receive His power through the filling of the Holy Spirit. We already know that He indwells us. We already know that His power is fully available to us because He is dwelling spiritually within each one of us as believers. But how can we be endued with His Spirit and receive His power fresh and new and be revived in our lives in order to experience and enjoy this close relationship and fellowship with God, our Savior? So first of all, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's possession of power. Briefly, we've already seen that He does have power. He is God. He is omnipotent. But as we look at His power and the possession of it, we're going to see that His power is absolutely extraordinary. You can even use the term, instead of extraordinary, as supernatural. It is a kind of power that is so far elevated than the power that we think that we have and the might that we think that we have. You know, we call ourselves as a nation a superpower, don't we? We think that we have a lot of might in our military and with our bombs, our smart bombs, our atomic bombs, all these aircraft and aircraft carriers, and we truly have some military might. And when the world looks at the United States, they realize that we have some major military firepower, and we can do some serious damage to someone that is trying to confront us and trying to do us damage. And so we can retaliate and take care of business, so to speak. But as much power as is contained in an atom bomb, and we've seen pictures and seen videos and documentaries that show the enormous, extraordinary power that can be unleashed from these military weapons, when we think of the power of the Holy Spirit, it is on a plane at a level all to itself. It is a power that we have never seen or experienced in this world, in our eyes or in our ears. It is a power that we have available to us. It is a power that is supernatural. It is a power that is not ordinary, it's extraordinary, and it is something that we need, and I hope that we desire. So often when we talk about the Holy Spirit's power, we say we need it, we say we want it, but are we willing to count the cost and to pay the price? If the Holy Spirit was to unleash His power and to provide the power in all these areas, are we willing to truly be fully surrendered so that His power can work in us and through us in the mighty way that He is able? Because He is a Holy Spirit. He is a Spirit that, through His character, transforms the character of the ones upon whom He rests. And so, if our life is not transformed, His power truly cannot go through us as it is upon us. But His power that we're going to look at, that He possesses inherently as God, is extraordinary and supernatural. And we first come to this in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. This particular passage is talking about the Messiah. It's talking about, in verse 1, a branch that shall grow out of the roots of Jesse. This is a messianic passage, and it talks about what is going to happen to this Messiah when He comes into this world. And it says specifically in verse 2 that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. So we've already looked at the relationship between Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit of God. And we realize that there is a unique relationship between these two. And when the Messiah comes, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. And then it identifies who the Spirit is. It gives a lot of attributes or characteristics of this Spirit. He is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel, and here is where we get the word from our from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of might. He is also known as the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And look what this Spirit is going to do. The Spirit that comes upon Him shall make Him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And He shall not judge after the sight of His eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of His ears. We see from this passage and other passages that the Holy Spirit has power because He is called the Spirit of might. He is the Spirit of power. This is His very nature. This is who He is in and of Himself. He is powerful. And when He rests upon someone like we see here, it's going to affect them greatly. The relationship between the Spirit and the Son is indeed a great mystery. But when the Holy Spirit came upon Christ as Messiah, something extraordinary happened. When He rested upon Christ, it affected Him greatly. When He rested upon the Messiah, all His attributes contributed to make Him of, as it says there in verse 3, a quick understanding. What does that mean? We cannot fully understand what that means. But we understand a little bit how that Jesus Christ was able to grow in favor with men and with God, in stature and in wisdom and in knowledge. We see this in the Gospels. And who made that possible? Who made this growth extraordinary in the life of our Messiah, Jesus Christ? It was the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of might. And we see a lesson from this. The powerful character of the Holy Spirit will transform the character He rests upon. The character, the powerful character of the Holy Spirit will transform the character of the one He rests upon. And this is something we need to keep in mind when we are wanting the Spirit's power and we're seeking the Spirit's power, is that when it does come, there will be evidence of His power, namely that our character will be transformed like the character of the Holy Spirit. Another passage that talks about the possession of the Holy Spirit's power is in the book of Micah. If you'll turn there with me, Micah chapter 3. We see that the Spirit of power would rest upon the Messiah in Isaiah. And now in Micah, the prophet himself says that the Spirit of power also rested upon Him. In Micah chapter 3, verse 8, Micah here was needing power to stand up for righteousness and to declare what is going on in the people's lives and to identify and even to judge. That was his job as the prophet. But my focus here is on verse 8 where he says in Micah 3:8, "But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might. Another word that is synonymous there with power, to declare, this was the purpose why he was filled with his power and might, was to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Again, it's called, he is called the Spirit of the Lord that provides power and might. In order to provide it, he has to have it. And so he provides the prophet Micah with the power that he needs in order to understand, in order to stand up and to declare the righteousness of God. The Holy Spirit, we need to understand, possesses all the power that we would ever need and could ever want to live our lives as Christians. He is the power source for our lives. He is the only power source for our lives. You know, when we drive around in our cars today, most of us just get regular unleaded because it's cheap, right? Right now it's around $2.77 a gallon. But they are trying to come up with alternative fuels, right? You've seen some of these. They've got the biodiesel. They've got the E85, which I think is 85% ethanol now. And if you have a car that just ran on biodiesel or E85, which I think they're flex fuel vehicles so they can go on different fuels, but how many places can you go to get the kind of fuel that you need? Some of these vehicles you've seen are hydrogen-run vehicles. Where would you go to fill up on the hydrogen that you need to transport that vehicle? You couldn't go down to Gas America. You couldn't go to all these different places. There's probably a unique source where they would go to get that fuel. So it is in our lives as Christians. There is a unique source where we would go to get the fuel and the power that we need to live our lives as Christians. So often, we're all responsible for this. We're all at fault here. Is so often we rely on our own flesh. We rely on our own efforts. We rely on our own power. And sometimes we get discouraged because we didn't pray long enough or we didn't read more. And we forget to realize that our sole power comes from the Spirit of God. When we're reading the Word of God, who do we rely upon for power in understanding the Word of God? Do we rely upon the Spirit of God and ask Him for help? When we're struggling to witness and we're afraid and we have a tract in our back pocket or we have a New Testament, we're wanting to hand it out, we're a little afraid, we're a little timid, who do we go to for help? Sometimes we kick ourselves and say, I can't believe I was that timid. I can't believe I was that shy. Instead of saying, Lord, please give me the power and the ability to overcome this and the courage to witness in this way. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit possesses all the power that we need. We need to go for Him. Go to Him for that kind of power because He is able to transform the character of someone in order to possess, promote, and then perform righteousness just like He did in the life of Micah. The Holy Spirit possesses extraordinary, supernatural, but available power. Secondly, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's provision of His power. The Holy Spirit's provision of His power. This is the wonderful thing that we see from the Scripture. Just like God did not reserve to Himself all His attributes, like love and mercy and grace, but He shared Himself with us through His Son. So He does with the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, which we looked at last week, as this paraclete to come to us and to be our teacher, to be our consoler, to be our advocate, but also to share His power and to provide His power for us as we live our lives as Christians. What kind of power can the Holy Spirit provide? We're going to look at several as we consider the power of the Spirit in the Bible. First of all, let's turn to the book of Judges, if you will. As we mentioned when we looked at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, much of the Spirit's power is reserved and seen in physical strengthening for work. And we do see this also in the life of Samson in Judges chapter 14, a very unique situation where on three separate occasions, we see that the Holy Spirit Himself, in His power, is coming upon Samson to fulfill a specific purpose. And I've mentioned this before, I don't think Samson was an Atlas or one of the world's strongest men competing in those competitions, being able to pull a truck behind him. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been that extraordinary to see this man do these amazing physical feats. But I believe he was a man of ordinary stature, and it looked extraordinary because no one would have expected it from him. But when we come to this passage, we see what kind of power the Holy Spirit provides. From the life of Samson, we see that the Holy Spirit gives power for extraordinary strength. For extraordinary strength. In the book of Judges, when we read about the Spirit coming on Samson, it doesn't actually use the word power, but it does say that he came upon him mightily. There's a few verses that just use the word came, but it's the same word that's translated came mightily that we see in Judges 14, verse 6. And this is where we're going to start. Judges 14, 6, it says, "Before Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath, behold, a young lion roared against him." And look at verse 6. "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." The Spirit who possesses all the power that Samson would need came suddenly, rushing upon Samson, came mightily upon him, rested upon him, empowered him. And what did Samson do? He rent this lion as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. He just tore it with his bare hands. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. So we see here an extraordinary physical strength going through Samson by the Spirit of God. Then look at verse 19. Again, Samson is, in verse 18, is talking about how he was having a riddle. And in verse 19, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him after these Philistines were able to determine what the riddle was. And he went down to Ashkelon, where these Philistines lived, and he slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle, in order to pay them back. And so what we have here in verse 19, it says, how did he get the strength? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Here again, we see the Spirit of God coming mightily upon him and giving him power to accomplish normally what a human could not do. And then if you jump down to chapter 15, verse 14, again we see that when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. We see here some powerful, extraordinary physical strength. Not something that he could have done normally as a human being. It was against overwhelming odds, but the power of the Spirit did something amazing. It ensured Samson's safety. Samson was able to do this, and he probably didn't have a scratch on him. He took a jawbone, went down and killed 1,000 men, and the Holy Spirit ensured his success. But we see that the success really wasn't Samson, it was the Spirit's. And that is why it teaches us that the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. It shows that it wasn't his work, it was the Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit's power was provided for his own purpose. Samson here did not ask for his power, but God gave it to him at certain sudden times according to his own desire, for his own use, and his own purpose. And I believe that, yes, there are times when God does that. He does send his power for specific times, for specific purposes, but he also says, come and ask for me of the Holy Spirit, and I will give it to you. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Another passage here is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. You don't need to turn there. But Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says that he's praying for this church that the Lord would grant them, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So we see here that the Holy Spirit's power is not just available for physical strength, but also for spiritual strength. And really, what is our greater need? Sometimes we think that it's our physical strength and our physical needs, but in reality, our spiritual man, our inner man, has this need of a spiritual strength. Where do we go for this strength? Where do we go for this power? We can only go to the one who has the power And that is the Spirit of God. He gives power for extraordinary strength. But also He gives power for extraordinary service. If you turn back with me to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10. The Holy Spirit gives power for extraordinary service. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. This is talking about Saul as he was being anointed to become the first king over Israel. And the prophet Samuel says, and really gives him a prediction about what's going to happen. 1 Samuel 10:6. It says, Samuel speaking to Saul, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee." Again, that word "come" is the same word translated to come mightily, to rush upon, to come suddenly upon, and to empower. "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them," these prophets that we're going through, "and shalt be turned into another man." Here we see a sudden empowerment by the Holy Spirit for Paul to prophesy. What was prophecy in the Old Testament? Prophecy was truly a spiritual service rendered by men to God. God had certain prophets, and they would serve God for His purpose and for His plan. They would foretell things, predict things that were going to happen, but they would also tell forth what God told them. They would say, "Thus saith the Lord." And so Saul, who was anointed to be king over Israel, here was anointed by the Holy Spirit Himself, endued with power, so that he could also render spiritual service to God by prophesying along with these other prophets. What was predicted by Samuel in verse 6 was fulfilled in verse 10. And it says, "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met Saul, and the Spirit of God," again, "came mightily, rushed suddenly upon him, and endued him with power," adding that, "and he prophesied among them." He was able to serve in an extraordinary way, a way that he had never done before, because he was given power by the Holy Spirit. So it is with our own service and our own strength. When we need strength, where do we go? When we want to serve the Lord, and we want to do so with a heart, and we want to do so with all our might and love, how are we going to do this but through the power of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says we've looked at this not by might or by power, but by my Spirit. It's not our physical might or our physical strength that we will be able to use to be able to accomplish spiritual service for the Lord. It is through the power that the Holy Spirit provides to render extraordinary service. I know many of you do a lot of service for the Lord. Here in the church, outside of this church, tremendous. And the Holy Spirit is using you in mighty ways with the people that you are able to influence, whether it's at work, home, school, wherever you might find yourself. God does use you. But how can you take your level of service to an extraordinary height, an extraordinary level of service? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know it's available. We desire it. Are we asking for it? Are we saying, "God, give me success through my service. God, give me fruit for my labor. God, give me wisdom and guidance to know where you want me to serve and how you want me to serve." We need to rely upon the power of the Spirit, because He'll give it for extraordinary service. We also see that the Holy Spirit gives power for extraordinary courage. Just a chapter over in 1 Samuel chapter 11, again, regarding Saul, it says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 11, that the Spirit of God, again, came upon Saul. Came mightily, suddenly, in order to empower him when he heard these tidings. And it says that his anger was kindled greatly. There was a point in Saul's life as leader and as king where he had to deal with some major sin in the life of his people. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to deal with sin. It's hard to deal with sin in my own life, let alone in somebody else's. It's hard to stand up for what's right, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be a fish that is swimming against the current when the entire current and all the other fish are going the other way. Sometimes it's difficult to stand up for righteousness when the rest of the world is unrighteous and is trying to make you look silly and look like some old-fashioned buffoon. It's hard to stand up for the Lord. How do we get the courage that we need in order to lead in the way God wants us to lead, and in order to serve in the way that God wants us to serve, and to stand up for truth and righteousness, and to earnestly contend for the faith the way God wants us to? It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We see from this lesson that there was an evidence of His extraordinary power. This evidence is that when the Holy Spirit comes mightily upon us, it will bring glory to God and not man. Because the result of when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul in this passage was that the fear of the Lord fell on the people. The fear of the Lord fell on those people when the Holy Spirit empowered the courage for Saul. We not only see this extraordinary courage in the Old Testament, but also in the New. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you'll turn there for a moment, Paul is writing to Timothy, this young man who we described a little bit this morning. He was his brother. He was a minister of God, a fellow laborer with Saul. He was a man that Paul truly loved and really ministered to and wanted to encourage in the Word of God. But some believe that Timothy might have been a timid man. He was a young man when he was saved. And as he was ministering, he was still a young man. And Paul was older in the faith, as well as older in age. And he was very much like a father figure to him. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy in verse 7 and says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So here again, he says that God has not just given us a spirit of fear, but a power. The spirit of power He has given to us. For what purpose? In verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." The power of the Spirit was to give Timothy extraordinary courage. It wasn't to make him fear, not to be timid, but to be courageous, to stand up for the Lord and to stand up in the Lord. To stand up for the Lord so that he would not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Is there ever a time that we were embarrassed by what we believe or ashamed to share with others what we believe? The Bible says we can receive the Spirit of power by going and requesting it. He is the one who will empower us so that we are not timid, so that we are not afraid. But also, it is to stand in the Lord during afflictions. Sometimes when we are a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, sometimes when we're a partaker of those afflictions, it's difficult and we're afraid of what's going to happen to us. Paul says, you can still receive courage because the power of the Holy Spirit will give you extraordinary courage. Courage to lead by. Courage to be able to go and witness with. Courage to be able to withstand even the hardest afflictions. Courage that is extraordinary because it comes from a supernatural spirit. He also gives power not just for courage, but also for an extraordinary life. An extraordinary life. If you turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, another verse, and this is not about Saul, but this is about David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find something very interesting. Because up until this time, we see, with maybe the exception of the life of Joseph, that the Holy Spirit would come upon someone just for a period of time to empower them for a specific service. In Joseph, it was said that the Spirit of God was in him. But then we also come to the life of David. When he was anointed king over Israel, look what happened. 1 Samuel 16:13. "Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and then the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." We see in the life of David that it wasn't just a one-time coming, just to empower him for a specific purpose, for a specific event, and then leaving, and then coming back for another time like he did in Saul, like he did in the life of Samson. Here he came upon David from that day forward. I believe we see here a permanent presence and power of the Spirit of God. I think David is a picture of a believer for us. I believe in a very unique and special way, David is the picture of true believers who now the Spirit of God indwells with His permanent presence, making His power completely available to us even tonight. David, as we would all agree, did not live an ordinary life. He lived an extraordinary life. He was a man that was close to the Lord. In fact, the Bible even says that he was a man after God's own heart. What an extraordinary statement to say about a man. What made David so unique? What made David and his ministry? I mean, he had courage and leadership. He had strength, physical strength, to do all sorts of things. And he also had the courage to witness, to sing. He had all these extraordinary features in this extraordinary life. What made him so different and so unique? I believe this teaches us what made him so different, so extraordinary, and so unique. It was because he received the Spirit of the Lord's power from that day forward. The power of the Spirit was upon him and was present with him from that time forevermore. And that's why in one of the Psalms, after he said, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because he knew that anything less than having the power of the Spirit in his own life would be ordinary, common. He wouldn't be able to be the man that God would want him to be. We need to live extraordinary lives, not average lives as Christians. We can live extraordinary lives in service for the Lord, in His courage, with His strength, by the power of His Spirit. Because He gives power for an extraordinary life. He also gives power for an extraordinary witness. Turn with me to the New Testament in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, a very common verse. You probably already know it. Jesus said to the disciples as they were there in Jerusalem, and He had already risen from the dead and He was waiting to be ascended into heaven, and He says, "You shall receive power." Dunamis is the Greek word from which we get our word dynamite. What does dynamite do? It does a lot of damage. Once you light that fuse, you better run, or you better get out of the way, because once that dynamite ignites, there's going to be some major damage. And so what we see from here is God saying, Christ saying to His disciples, you will receive some extraordinary power. After, when is this going to take place? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we see the source of this power. It comes from the Holy Ghost. And then what is this power going to do? It's going to propel you to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As we looked at a few weeks ago, not only is the Spirit's witness the basis for our witness, but the Spirit's power is the empowerment for our witness. And this is what we see happen in the lives of the disciples. In fact, jump down to verse 12 of Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then in verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus with His brethren. So they're all together. They did what the Lord had called them to do. They obeyed. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed, and they were marveled. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit gave them an extraordinary witness. To boldly preach the gospel wherever they went, and to do so in an extraordinary way. turn over just another book here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, Paul is describing to this church how he came to witness to them. And it was not in his own power or his own strength, but the only reason why his service and witness was effective was because it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul says, "And my speech, brothers, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? "So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." His power is seen in his influence upon Paul. Paul was influenced because it wasn't his words, it was God's words through him. That's what made it powerful. His witness is also extraordinary because of the impact that the Holy Spirit made through Paul. This is where we find witnesses that are extraordinary. It's when the Holy Spirit has powerfully influenced us and then uses us to powerfully impact others through the word of truth. And it's not to show our power. It's not to show what a great soul winner I am. It's to show fully and completely the power of the Holy Ghost and give glory to Him. His power is given for an extraordinary witness. We also see that He gives power for an extraordinary faith. Turn over just a few pages to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Again, here is a prayer by Paul to the church in Rome. And he says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope." How? "Through the power of the Holy Ghost." Do you realize that the power of the Holy Ghost gives hope to the hopeless? He gives faith to the faithless. And this prayer is for joy and peace and faith and hope, all that comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can have faith in God because we know that through His power, He will accomplish what He started. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." We can have confidence and an extraordinary faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Who can receive the power of the Spirit? This extraordinary power that we just looked at, an extraordinary strength, both physical and spiritual, an extraordinary courage, an extraordinary service, extraordinary faith. Some of these extraordinary things that we see all come from the power of the Holy Spirit. But who can receive them? Who is this available to? Well, look at all the people that we've looked at. Sometimes we think that, well, I can't truly be empowered in this extraordinary way because I'm just a common, ordinary person. I'm pretty simple. Simple in my mind, simple in my attitude, my actions, simple in my faith. Pretty simple. How can I have this extraordinary power? Well, think about who we've looked at. We talked about how the Spirit's power fell upon Samson. We saw how the power of the Spirit came upon Saul. We saw how the power of the Spirit came on David. We even saw how the power of the Spirit came upon Christ, the Messiah. We saw how the power of the Spirit came upon Micah, that prophet. We saw how it came upon the apostles. And then what we've just seen here in Romans and 1 Corinthians is how Paul is writing to some of these churches and even to Timothy. And basically it shows to us that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. It's not an exclusive club. It is something that is available to every believer that He indwells. Because like David, the Spirit of the Lord has come mightily upon you from the very day of your salvation forward. From that day forward, He's been with you and He's empowered you. He's come upon you mightily and the power is available for these extraordinary things. And we do so for His glory. How does one receive the Holy Spirit's power? We need to understand that it is something that God gives and we receive. It's like the power that was given to the disciples. You don't need to turn there, but Luke 24:49, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That word endued means to clothe. He says, you wait, and I'm going to send you that promise, the Spirit of God, and He's going to clothe you with power. God sends it. We understand that we cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. Simon Magnus attempted that, didn't he? He saw the disciples and the apostles doing all these wonderful things, and he said, give me, or I'm going to pay you so you can give me these things so I can also give the power of the Holy Spirit and do some of these amazing miracles on others. He said, that's not possible. That's not possible. It's not something we earn or buy, but it is something to request and ask for. We looked at this. Ezekiel, the Lord said to Ezekiel, call to the wind. Ask for it. And God will provide His power to His people, especially since it's available to all who are His. He indwells us even now. The Holy Spirit possesses great power. The Holy Spirit provides that power to us. And the question we need to think about is, are we availing ourselves of His power tonight? Have we asked for it? Have we sought it? Do we wait for His power? Sometimes we ask for it and then we do things on our own, don't we? And then we mess it up. Done that many times. We pray, Lord, give me power in this area. And we don't wait for it. We mess things up sometimes that way. But when He does give us the power, do we rely upon His power? Think about what Jesus said in Luke 11:13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We need it. We desire it. Let us ask Him for it. If you are weak, ask for His power, and He will give you extraordinary strength. If you are weary, ask for His power, and He will give you extraordinary service. Service where you will not be weary in well-doing. If you are timid, ask for His power, and He will give you extraordinary courage. If you are unfruitful, ask for His power, and He will give you an extraordinary witness. And if you are in doubt, ask for His power, because only He can give you an extraordinary faith. Let's close in prayer.